Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You are the God of all wisdom. And so we come to bow at your throne. We ask you for mercy. Mercy for me, so that, Lord, you will grant me fresh unction and anointing. So this word will come out of me like a stream of living water. I pray that you will make me a pure chalice, an oracle of God. So this word will feel like a stream of living water in understanding, in wisdom, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God. So that as your word goes forth, it will cause our wills, including my own, to be more humble. Our minds, Father, illuminated with the light that comes from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions, Father, controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. That all of us will be doers of this word, bringing forth fruit thereof to the praise of God's glory in the name of Jesus. I pray that as your word goes forth, I duck under the covering of my fathers. Let the power under their covering, let it follow these words everywhere it goes throughout the earth, to break yokes, to open blind eyes, to open deaf ears, to cause the lame to receive strength in their knees and their ankle bones, the fearful to be strong, so that in this day we will arise and build up Zion, so that you will appear in glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I ask you for fresh mercy. Help me to be concise and to be precise, so I will redeem the time. I will not say what I want, but I will say what you put in my mouth to say, so that, Lord God, Lord, I will redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, and at the same time be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of the depth of this word things both new and old, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Revelation is continuous and progressive. Amen. And on Sunday, Pastor Dewey was sharing, you know, and was powerful and was really blessed. And he mentioned a natural incident that happened, you know, in school, and used it to show how God has to raise up Zion and build up Zion. And I was meditating on them. We were praying at 3 hours after. That's why I say it's progressive. We're praying at 3 hours, and Pastor Wally, after the prayer, shared a few things again, you know, on the same thing, you know. And then, and one of the brethren, you know, also sent me something, and that was it, you know. In the mouth of three witnesses, let the word be established. You know, and it just blew something up in my heart. And but I want to read you what the person sent to me. You know, the person said, you know, I was just thinking about this tent business. You know what Pastor Dewey shared on Sunday was that we were on before the valedictory service, the night before, we had a tent where the parents were supposed to be. And the tent was already up. It was ready because valedictory service was the next day. It was already up by 5, 6 in the evening. It was already up, standing, and they had arranged everything and all that. And then there was a storm. It wasn't even a big storm, it was a little storm, you know, but it was very windy wind. You know, the Bible says the rain, the wind, and the flood come against the house. And, you know, before we knew it, the whole tent was down. And then, you know, under covering, you know, until we gave an apostolic instruction, because it was apostolic, because it took covering to back it up. You know, because the people came that night to come and replace the tent and put it up. Not the next morning, you know. And I saw that as divine. You know how people, you can't control them now. If you talk to them on the phone, what if they don't come? Tell you they are coming and they don't come. But for them to come, it was apostolic. Something, God made them do it for the testimony. And and when it fell, it destroyed one of the landmarks in Lyford. This is not from me, it's from the person that shared this. One of the landmarks in Lyford, which is a signboard, a signpost of JBJ. You know, and so the person, that's where I want to bring out what the person shared with me. I said, you know, I was just thinking about this tent business, the allegory that Pastor Dewey gave and Pastor Wally expanded. It's really true that God can do nothing on earth except through men. The glory we are waiting for, the work it will accomplish in us, is all going to be done through us. God's going to use us to bless us. Amen. All right. And then he says, Pastor and Mommy, as a type of divinity, is a place of God. No, they're not God, but in the place of God. It's an allegory. It's a story, okay? Had provided the resources and the instruction to get the tent and the resources to provide the tent, okay? All right? And it was left to us to execute the work according to their instructions. Men was coming and publishing. Now, when the tent collapsed, it removed the JBJ sign, a father's landmark. The tent was raised by men. The landmark was restored by men. The tables under the canopy were set by men. The food was prepared by men. It was served by men for men for whom it was prepared. Hallelujah. The responsibility rests squarely on us to become unhindered portals of God's glory. Just like the Lord Jesus and finish the work we truly and really need to hasten. And if you get this kind of word, you have to be deaf. I was like, wow. I think I should be Pastor Wale. Wow. And I said, the revelation is flowing in the air. So the word of God that God gave me this evening is building up Zion for glory. If you see Psalm 102 verse 16, quickly, so we save time. God is building up Zion. And the essence of building up Zion is to manifest glory. It's raising up the tent. Because under that tent, there's going to be glory there. And that glory will be a defense. And anybody that comes under the covering of that tent will experience deliverance. That's the essence of what God is doing in the church. When the Lord shall, let's read together. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall what? Appear in his glory. Alright? Now, Zion, of course, we know is the perfect church. Psalm 50 verse 2, we're not going to turn there. And the perfect church is made up of a perfect leadership with a fully submitted followership. Okay, so it's good to set that. Now, you notice that after the success of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, Satan systematically and strategically, he attacked apostolic and prophetic father ministries. So, I mean, they grew old or he killed them, whatever, you know. And, you know, the message, the truth was not passed on. And there came a generation that didn't know the truth. So Satan stepped in and took the church into the dark ages. And then, of course, we know the story, history, Reformation, Martin Luther awoke, and all the revelation, the just shall live by faith in Germany. And then ultimately brought us into the 20th century, in 1900s, the Azusa Street Revival. And then by the 1950s, God started raising up teaching ministries. Again, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, you understand what I mean? Father ministries. It's not everybody who father ministries that everybody has to get the truth from them. Pastor shared a beautiful scripture on Sunday, when Judges 21:25. He said, where there was no king in the land, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. The reason you have a Bible of voices is because the kings have not been manifest. But when the glory appears, it will be a confirmation, an attestation to their divine endorsement. Amen. Then without their word, you will not be able to do anything. That's right. Amen. That's right. So God is rebuilding Zion. He's building up Zion. And he's going to, so we need to understand what. Look at Amos chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. Quickly. Need to move quickly. Amos chapter 9. Let's read together. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Now you understand why it was falling. It was falling because of what Satan did. David is the type of a Christian that does all of the will. He's willing to do all the will of God. We know that from the book of Acts of the Apostles. Okay? Alright? And close up the breaches thereof. So it's not just building up. It's also bringing to a unity there. Okay? Building up and binding together in unity. Alright? And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. Next verse. That they may what? Possess the remnants of Edom. Edom is Esau. Okay? And of all the heathen, that's all the world, unbelievers. So there are two kinds of Christians now. There is Jacob and there is Esau. Alright? Which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Notice that there's a contention between Zion and Edom. And what are they contending for? They're contending for a place. There is a place. Look at John chapter 11 verse 48. Please, you need to be quick. John 11:48. Thank you. Let's read together. If we let him thus alone, all men will what? Believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our and our nation. Every nation has a place that the church must occupy. When Edom occupies the place, you can see the effect of corruption in the nation. Now Zion is fixing to displace Edom, dislodge, remove from that place, and occupy that place. Jesus was already on the way to occupying that place. They were scared. That's why they had to kill him. But as it was in the beginning, so it is now. There is a place that we as Zion must occupy. And when we occupy that place, the effect will manifest in the nation. Psalm 144. There will be no more complaining in our streets. Our oxen will be strong to labor. But Zion must, first of all, be built up, must appear with the glory, and then occupy the place. And then everything else will follow. Amen? Are you with me? Right, okay. So, it's the same thing, you know, it's the typology of Saul and David, where the Bible says the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. The house of Saul. Let's look at that. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I think there's something there for us. 2 Samuel chapter 3, give me verse 1. Thank you. 1 to 2. Now, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger. Hello, David. Hello, let me see that wave up for you. Amen. You're waxing stronger and stronger. Amen. And the house of Saul did what? Waxed weaker and weaker. Next verse. And unto David were born what? Sons in Hebron. And his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelites. I don't want to take too much of your time. Jump to verse 4. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. Next verse. And the sixth, Ithream, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Why was the house of Saul getting strong? House of David getting stronger? There were sons. Sons were coming up. God wants you to come up, brethren, to strengthen the hands of the fathers. You need sons to stand shoulder to shoulder with the fathers. Amen. Look at verse 6 of the same. And as it was on the house of in the house of David, it was so also on the house of Saul. It came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. A son. So you must make yourself strong for the house of David. That's what God is saying. Amen. Right. Okay. Now, how is God building up Zion? Look at Proverbs 24, verse 3. The very popular scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is what? Established. Next word, next verse. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now this is both both literal and spiritual. Okay, if you are building a house, you have to have wisdom to build a house. You must have specifications and follow them. It's not how I feel like. I feel like I should do it like. No. You follow particular rules. The rules vary depending on the terrain. In some places, you do a rough foundation. In other places, you do a different kind of foundation. So you have to obey the rules. All right? So what he's saying is that God is building up Zion by wisdom. And will establish her by understanding, so she can inherit the glory which is manifest in incredible photographic memory, incredible language. And that's the knowledge he's talking about. It's not normal knowledge. It is the supernatural knowledge. Incredible language learning skills, incredible musical ability, incredible photographic memory. All those incredibles. Plam. Remember the film? Plam. All those incredibles, they are the results of the house being built and the glory manifest. Want to understand that, okay? And how is wisdom going to do it? Wisdom, therefore, is epignosis. The way you talk about wisdom is epignosis. It's the precise, exact knowledge. It doesn't mean you know everything. Epignosis just means you have the complete knowledge
about the things of God. So, for example, you can have epignosis of faith. You can have the doctrines of Christ. You know, about the resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment, baptism, you know, faith, you know, forgiveness of sin. You must have an epignosis of those things. And you can only get them from apostolic and prophetic fathers. Wise master builders. They lay your foundation so that there is no... God doesn't lay a foundation to you. They are the ones that do it. So that there is no weakness anywhere. Because if foundations are destroyed, what would the righteous do? It takes God's plan back. So he has, in order to save and redeem time, he lets someone else build the foundation. And then you, having the foundation been built now, you can then take those principles and then use them to build your house. This is the way God, what God is doing. Are you with me? Are we together? Okay. So you understand? This is how God is using that wisdom, his divine wisdom. Now, wisdom of course answers the question how. Understanding answers the question why. So
just to set that as a parameter, and you know, this epignosis is critical, because you know, if you don't have the epignosis of the foundation, you don't have a permit to continue to perfection. Amen. I don't want to talk too many scriptures. I'm assuming that you believe that I will not lie. All right, and in the Bible says that this we will do, you know, if God permit. We can't go over all those. He was talking about in the book of Hebrews that we can't go over all those principles again. But we will do it if God. But you think, the point is that God gives permit. So God comes to check your house. Does it meet certain specifications? When he does that, he gives you permit to come to build unto perfection. If it doesn't, you must get those specifications. Otherwise, you're marking time. There is no begging. There is no... You can't jump. You can't see them. You can't pay them money. There's nothing you can do. This is divine. Because anywhere the thing is weak, you know, you become a... Because then you will build a house that can fall on people. You understand? Because when you build a house, it's human beings that live inside, isn't it? God brings people under your covering. And God forbid that anything should happen to your house. So rather than that, God will make sure that the house is solid. And it meets the specifications. Amen. Right. So you understand why, in a sense, things are taking time. Alright. And of course, we know that you have Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem. The three enemies of Zion. The devil is Sanballat. Tobias is the carnal Christian. You can call him Esau, Edom. You can call him whatever you call him. But the main type of Saul is the same. He's coming in the name of Christ, but he's against the purpose of Christ. So really, he's with Sanballat. And then you have Geshem, the Arabian. There are three in one, walking together, just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working together. They're working together. The devil, the carnal Christian, and the unbeliever. That's why you see some things happening in the nation and say some of them are doing their own, they are doing this. Well, they are doing that, but truly the real problem is Sanballat and Tobias. Because Geshem is a servant of Tobias. So if you deal with Sanballat, you have to do Tobias. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you will deal with everybody. You don't have to worry about Geshem. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the real issues. The real issues. We need to get our act together. Amen. And God's going to help us in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? We are saying that God wants to build you up. Tell your neighbor, God is building me up. He's building me up so he can appear in glory. Amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. It will come to pass. Amen. So what are we saying? God, it is vital for us to grow in wisdom like Jesus did. We must grow in wisdom. Remember in Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in what? Favor with God and with men. That favor is trying to describe something to you. Is the not yet the fullness, because the reborn is the fullness of light and love. You know, of at least light, life, and love in a measure, until he had it without measure. Do you understand? The anointing was without measure. But he grew until he got to that point. Brethren, we must grow. Amen. Grow in life. Amen. Grow in light. And grow in love. Amen. The life is to give us light. And the light is to enable us walk in love. Amen. Nothing is for him. It's not for holding and be boasting and say, see how much I have. No, it is for the ultimate purpose is when we see the love demonstrated. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, look at Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 9. Are we getting something out of this? Wow. Proverbs 4, 5 to 9. Quick. Let's read together. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Next verse. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Next verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Next verse. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Next verse. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of shall she what? God, by through wisdom, God will deliver glory to you. Amen. That building up is a building up in wisdom to ultimately have glory. Amen. All right, so you see, right now, looking at wisdom, you see, wisdom is the tree of life. Going back to the story of Adam and Eve, wisdom, look at Proverbs 3:18. Just quickly, you can turn there, just you can see that. Proverbs, wisdom is the tree of life, and we must eat of her. Bible says that happy is he that findeth her, and he that retaineth her. So there is finding and there is retaining. You must find her, and you must retain her. Don't let her go. It means that there is a tendency to let her go. There is a tendency not to appreciate who she is or what she is. Okay? And you know, and many times you see, because of the fall of Adam, it is natural for us to want to eat of the tree of knowledge. Because that's the way we are programmed. When Adam ate of that tree, you know, Adam ate of the tree of his own free will, when he could have eaten of either tree. But since he ate of that tree, he kept eating of that tree. So when a man is naturally born of a woman, we naturally eat of that tree. Anything that comes from that tree looks correct. Anything that comes from the tree of wisdom is like, this one is a bit strange, oh. It's not supposed to be the other way around. But because of the fall of Adam, we've been programmed that way. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. God wants to help us today. Amen. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. It's a tendency. You have to accept this. Don't say, I reject, it's not my portion in Jesus' name. You'll be like, Peter, when Jesus told me I was going to deny him. You should ask God for mercy and try and walk in truth to break that cycle. It's a natural tendency that we all have. And God's going to help us. So looking at this Proverbs 4, 5 to 9, you can see that many times, even to the best of us, wisdom appears as foolishness. Because, you know, like just as I explained. Therefore, we must learn to accept wisdom. Everybody say, accept wisdom. Then we must learn to value wisdom. Amen. Then we must learn to embrace wisdom. Even when she does not make sense. I'll say it again. We need to learn to accept wisdom. We need to learn to value wisdom. And we need to learn to embrace wisdom. Even when she does not make natural sense. Case in point, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Quick example. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a what? Great man. Okay, that means that he had influence, he had wisdom, he had power. He wasn't a fool. That's what he's telling you, he's a great man. How would they call him a great man? Great men are not fools. You know, somebody is great. That means that in his field, he's distinguished himself. Okay? With his master. And what? Honorable. Because by him, The Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So God backs unbelievers. Oh yes. Based on the heart. Okay. Thank you, sir. Based on the heart. Okay. But Lord had given deliverance. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. Every but in our life can be removed by wisdom. As you will see. Every but, everything that doesn't align with the word, it doesn't align with the spirit of Christ, it doesn't align with what God has said is your portion, sickness, infirmity, it by wisdom you can reprogram and change it. If God did it for an unbeliever, how much more for you, a child in the house? Amen. All right, okay, let's jump to verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses. You're not reading with me. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. One day they will come to your own house. You didn't get that. I said one day they will come to your own house. Amen. All right. Okay, next verse. And Elisha sent a messenger. He didn't come out to him. Unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan. How many times? 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. What's this? It's an instruction. Many times, wisdom comes to us as instruction. It doesn't give you the liberty of your own personal opinion, or whether you understand it, or whether it makes sense. So look at his reaction. Don't say it's Naaman. No, it can be you. That's the whole idea. All right. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. That's always the problem. We're always thinking in a natural way. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He had pleaded out in his mind. And God said, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. So many times you have to be flexible. You have to be open in the world, though, not flexible to go and do what's not in the world. But in the world, you have to be flexible. Don't have a set. Some people say they want to know the will of God, and then you have already set a particular way for the thing to happen. That's not God. You have to leave it open. Amen. Next verse. Are not Abana and Farfa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Thank God for mercy. Brethren, thank God. Let's give God a super hand. God is merciful. At this point, has he not missed his healing? He's missed it. So if not for the mercy of God, we would have been consumed. So the things we get in our life, we shouldn't be saying it's me that got it too. Because many times you don't know how God bent over backwards to give you another chance and another opportunity so that you can eventually get it. You know, he had already missed it, as honorable as he was, as great as he was, as much as the Lord was with him, he had missed it. But mercy came in another way and helped him. Look at verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. And his servants came near. He must have been a good man. That his servants could come near when he was rough. Brethren, can anybody come near to you when you are rough? Mercy, Lord. Or does everybody run and hide for cover? We are. Hey, oh my, explode. You need to have a lead on anger and your temper. Because many times anger is a little madness. And you can miss, you dress in the bosom of fools. Thank you, sir. And you can miss the will of God in the moment of anger. You have to be approachable. That's what saved him. It's mercy. But it's mercy from one person to another. God didn't come down and come and show him mercy. God used the person to show him mercy. A servant, thank you, sir. So that's why we must humble ourselves. This is where wisdom comes from. With the lowly is wisdom. You have to be lowly. Kilo mbamiso, mumbinu mbamiso. Epa, kill him. You're not even afraid. And you saw that I was not in a good mood. And then you are coming to make a stupid suggestion. I know I cannot say it, you know, because I'm using the microphone and I'm preaching. But you know, Yorubas, they would have cursed the guy and cursed his regeneration and tell him to go and kill him. What nonsense. Rather, he opened his heart and he said, Oga, sir, my father, if the prophet had bidden to do some great thing, would that not have done it? How much rather when he said to the wash and be clean? Next verse. Then he went down. Naaman publicly swallowed his anger. Brethren, you know, the Bible says we make ourselves of no reputation. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. But you know, because when people are around, sometimes that's when it's very difficult for us to accept things. If somebody corrects you in private, it's okay. But when they rebuke you publicly, do you take it? It's very important. It's wisdom. Because it may look as if it's an unpleasant process, but there's something behind it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. All right. And he went down and dipped himself. How many times? 7 times. He obeyed the instruction, according to the saying of the man of God. But it wasn't the saying of the man of God. It was the saying of the servants that reminded him what the man of God said. Amen. Total death to self. Thank you, sir. I never saw that. Amen. 7 times in Jordan, death to self. That's a revelation. Amen. And his flesh did what? Came again. Jordan is the place of life. It's a place of death, though, but it's actually a place of life. You died to the things that are holding you back. You're not losing, you are gaining. You're losing this one, but you're gaining the divine. And the divine is one that controls the physical. Isn't what it says in the book of Hebrews? We know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And the things that were made of things which do not appear. So really, if you gain in the spiritual, you are gaining in the physical. Amen. It controls the physical, directs the physical. Alright, and it was clean. When he now saw it, look at verse 15. Verse 15, please. Thank you. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and said, Father, my God, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, take a blessing. We know the story. But after he had to humble himself, he now came on God's page. Many times we're not on God's page because of our natural understanding. That was why I shared this with you. Amen. Amen. So, what does wisdom do? Wisdom brings life and ultimately glory. Because light, life, and love all mix together to form glory. Now, we are walking in the glory by the grace of God, but we are waiting for it to be manifest. Number two, I want to bring out, wisdom is the principal part of agape love. How do I say this? It's the principal thing. It's the principal part of love because it's one that directs love. There are three aspects of love, like Pastor has taught us so very well. There is what? Wisdom. There is compassion. And there is power. All right? And the one that is in the lead, the train that pulls the carriages, is wisdom. All right? So, wisdom here is the principal part of agape love. And many times she comes as instruction. Proverbs 15:33. I need to just say that so that we can get it. Right? Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Amen. Next is Psalm 111 verse 10a. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you put those two together, you see that wisdom, instruction is the beginning of wisdom. Alright, so fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of it that do his commandments. Okay, we'll see that later. Alright, so fine. Right, so we see that many times God doesn't explain. When he told Abraham, take your son, your only son, and go and put it. Didn't explain. It's wisdom. It's an instruction. It looked like apparent death, but it was apparent life. It was life. But it looks like death. So many times, you know, you need to understand that that's how wisdom is, has deep implications. Therefore,
We must have two things to be able to walk in wisdom. We must have sincerity to accept wisdom. Be sincere. And then you must have humility to do it. Honesty and humility, lowliness, meekness and lowliness, sincerity and obedience, whatever you want to use, those is vital. This defining characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all that labor and heavy laden, says, I will give it. Take my yoke upon you. Matthew 11, verse 29. And learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly. Meekness is sincerity, is openness to accept. Don't shut things out. I don't want to hear that. No, that's not meekness. Meekness is teachability. You take it, ruminate upon it. That's how Jesus was able to manifest the glory. When his mommy said it, he spoke, woman, what do I have to do with thee? He spoke sincerely. But he didn't throw it away. Even though he said that, he held on to it. And she just gave the next instruction, wisdom. She just gave the next instruction, whatever he says, do it. And when he did that, God turned him around and told him, look, you need to do it. So he did it. And though I'm bingo, he manifested his glory. This is how we're going to do it, brethren. It's by obedience to instructions. First of all, you must obey the instructions of men that you can see. And then that will be, God will now promote you to a place where he will now talk to you direct. And then you now have to obey his own instruction. But you are not faithful in obeying set instructions that men have given you. God will never talk to you. You don't love the man you can see. How can you love God whom I have not seen? 1 John, I think it's chapter 4. I know the story of Samuel. Samuel, when God spoke to him, Samuel thought it was Eli. 12 in night, he got up and went. I said, sir, you are calling me. I went back again. And Samuel, got up again. Sir, you are calling me, sir. I'm not calling. Next time. So God is saying, so it was that promptness to do what the man said that allowed to open the door for now being to hear God. So people say, I don't hear God, don't hear God. You can't hear God when you're not hearing the man. I always tell my children in life, I say, obey instruction. It doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. Just obey. Because when you obey, then it gives you the opportunity to begin to hear God. After a while, you live above man's standard. To man, you look perfect. But you, because you are living that, but it was the man that grew you up for God to now take you by the hand and then be taking you by the hand, talking to you. If you are not faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? You have to be faithful in obeying other people's instruction. Mommy's instruction. Hello? Daddy's instruction. Even when it doesn't make any sense. Just do it the way they said. One day your life will depend on it. One day something deep will depend on it. It's a test. Always train yourself the right way. So even the day you make a mistake, so-called, where you must say, why do you do this? But that was what you told me to do. They will not be able to say anything. They can't say you did something wrong. Because you did exactly, you throw it back and say, but I did what you asked me to do. Amen. It's very important. Like Abimelech. He told me it was his wife. So, and you know, if it's his sister, there's nothing wrong. He was bold. He didn't have that's the way it is. When you're walking in sincerity, which is meekness, you know, you're bold, you're confident. There's some children, and when I'm coming, some children, they turn around and go another way. when I'm coming on the corridor, I just look at them and I wonder, why did that? Was it me that they saw that? I know what I used to them. How the Bible put it, the wicked flee when no man pursues. It's not me, but you know, it's who I represent. So, because of who I represent, when they just, what's today? Whereas some other children, when they see me, it's like, Pastor Ken, how's your day? Boldness. Nothing to hide. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It's very important. Okay, it's an important principle. Okay, fine. Next one that I want to talk about. Notice that we receive understanding after we receive wisdom. He says, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Understanding is not first. Wisdom is. Yes, sir. Will help, young people, it will help you. Hold on to it. Wisdom is always first. Understanding is not first. You will still get understanding, but you will get understanding after doing what wisdom said. Psalm 111 verse 10b. A good understanding have them that do his commandments. That means that if you don't do the commandment, your understanding is bad. Your understanding is bad. Your understanding is not good, or not as good as it should be. Until you do wisdom, the way you are understanding it is not correct. It looks correct to you, but it's not really correct. Until you obey the instruction, that's when you will now have light to see that the judgments of God are true and righteous all together. But before, when you are looking at it, it looks as if, it's right, it's right, it's right. We must therefore desire and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Very important as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1. We saw it on Sunday Bible study, but I want to look at it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read it again. Because the more you read, the more revelation you get. You know, this word is so rich that, you know, there is no time you can say, I know it. That's the wrong attitude. As long as you are open, you get something new. All right, let's open it. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in what my prayers. Next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of the Lord Jesus Christ that raised him up and brought him to glory. The Father of glory. God is the Father of glory. Amen. The Father of glory is going to take you to glory. Amen. Amen. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Next verse. Which he wrought in Christ. So Christ is the model. If he did it for Christ, he's going to do it for you. Exactly the way he did it for Christ. All right. When he did what? Raised him from the dead and did what? Set him at his own right hand. Where? In the heavenly places. You know what God showed me? That revelation, the way you get it, is by prayer at his own right hand in the heavenly places. At his own right hand. He set him there. God has said that it's through prayer you get revelation. Amen. And that, of course, we know there are two kinds of prayer. There is travailing prayer, and then there is communion prayer. Travailing prayer is the fighting kind of prayer. Okay, it's battle prayer. Amen. All right, and it is that travailing prayer. Notice that when Nehemiah was building the wall, Sambalat and Tobias and Geshem were coming to disturb them, isn't it? Alright, so what did they do? They set up a watch so that some people are fighting, some people are building. You need both. You need fighting prayer, you need building prayer. You need both. You need prayer to build you up, which is communal prayer, and then you need prayer that fights so you can break the power of the devil. Otherwise, you will not be able to build in peace. It's Ephesians chapter 1. It's God, it's not me. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. Next, all right. And verse 21 is my punchline. Amen. Far above. So, you know what does prayer do? And revelation, they lift you far above all principality and power and might and dominion and everything that is named, not only in this world, but where? Also in the world that is to come. So when you start praying and you start walking in wisdom, you start operating in that world and in this at the same time. You start operating in both worlds at the same time, just by prayer. Just, you know, it's important to have understanding. So you can just, you know, just by prayer, just that transition. After he has given you revelation, the revelation itself doesn't, you don't remain the same with the revelation. Revelation changes. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, my little children, Galatians 4:19, of my travail again in birth until Christ is formed. That's at the right hand. That's the right hand is talking about. Until Christ be formed. That travailing forms Christ inside you. And then that Christ just stays in communication with the real Christ. Amen. So Christ is talking to Christ. And then Christ is ruling through. So Christ in heaven is ruling through the Christ on earth. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named. Amen. Fine. Okay. So we see that, right? Okay. So this is what God is trying to do. You know, through a spirit of wisdom and revelation, open our eyes. So we can live by wisdom. We can live by revelation. We can be men, but not live as mere men. We now live as God men. Amen. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Now, why is wisdom important? Okay, I've already said it and mentioned it. You know, the spiritual realm controls the physical realm. We are God men. So we must reign in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. That's very important, okay? And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 to 9 says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. However, the key here is that Satan tries to make us preserve the life that now is at the expense of the life that is to come. It's a bad deal. Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't settle for it. You know your reputation among people, so you won't make a stand for Jesus. You know, the way people are doing it, so you do it the way they are doing it. Like trying to bring the ark of God on a golden cart, on the ark on a cart, on a new cart, and it may seem to work. No, these things can work for the world. But when you try it, you will get into trouble. I always tell my children, the children that God loves, they're the ones that get into trouble. Yes, they're the ones that get into trouble. Because sometimes, they're not the only ones doing it. Of course not. But why is it them that are caught? The children believe that is prayer that caused them not to be caught. I say, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. You've got it all wrong. It is the love of God and the mercy of God for you to be caught. So your heart will not be established in it. Because sentence against an evil work is not speedily, your heart will be set. Whereas the other ones, they are hard to be set. So if you get into trouble, it's good news. Good news. Get it right and understand it. It's good news. So when you do something, other people are doing it, and you get into trouble, it's good. When I was in school, I knew that I can't try it. When I do something small, I'll get into trouble. So you know what? And when boys are going over the fence and they're going to buy stuff in the I say, hey, boys, I can't go with you. You know, because if they catch me, they will suspend, they send me home, I am a dead man. I am not thinking I'm a dead man. I know I am a dead man. I am going to die. He's going to literally. I have no doubt about that. So rather than die, let me be alive. Take my money. Help me buy something from town. I won't go, because if I go, they will catch us. I can bet. So am I looking for it? Let me go buy. Yes, I'm like, so let me just give you my money. You know, so when they come and say, your money, he fell on the ground. Ah, you boys. He fell on the ground. They won't buy anything for me. They will buy one small of a bed. But what's more for you? He bought bread. I say, you know, I'm sorry, the money, we are running, and the money fell on the ground. I say, you boys, yeah. No, but you know, I knew that I can't try it. I know children need to know. They need to know that there's some things that they cannot do, and everybody can do. Because if you try it, God will appear. He will appear to you, and you know it's not worth it. And you look at Jesus' example in Luke chapter 4. When Satan came to him, we know this temptation. We're not going to turn there. Let's just turn there in Luke chapter 4. Now read verse 1, because I think some verses I want to bring out. Just very few. And Jesus, being what? Full of the Holy Ghost. What was he of? He was already full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He had already, the Spirit had already come on him, but he had not manifested. He had already been full of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And that's where we are right now. We know by the spoken word. God, how did he get it? By the spoken word. This is my beloved son. There's a message that pastor has preached that there is a spoken word of divine approval. Okay? I don't want to take you to be there. Just take my word for it. That it's like that. Alright? So, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, verse 3 and 4 and all that, Satan said, we know the first temptation, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread. What was he asking him to do? He was asking him to use divine power to meet physical need. Isn't it? His own personal physical need. It was the lust of the flesh. Okay? And Jesus said, no, you don't live by that. You live by the word of God. It's very important. Many times Satan tries to make what's in the physical, like, the end justifies the means. Anyhow you get the physical is okay, so as long as you get it. You cannot do that as a Christian. You have to get it the way God said, because it's going to judge everything you do. It's going to test everything we do by the motive, by the means, by the, these are foundational principles. I'm not going to go there. The motive, the means, the method. So you cannot just do it anyhow, otherwise you can lose the work. If it doesn't pass God's test, it will burn. You will still be there. But the reward for that work is gone. You know, you can get a reward for going to work. Just your regular going to work every day. You have a divine reward. You didn't raise the dead, though. You just did your basic work as a professor. Just did it because you did it by the Spirit. Because you are praying in the Spirit. Because you are acknowledging the Holy Spirit. Because you are walking in the Word in obedience. So, as far as God is concerned, everything you did by Him. Therefore, there's a reward that accrues to you for just your ordinary work. You can imagine how big your reward is. That's why you have not laid hands on the sick. You have not ministered to the poor. You have not... just normal, everyday living. So, it's important that the way we live is very important. That we have that at the back of our minds. You know, that we don't live anyhow. If you look at the second temptation as well, he took him Pastor taught us that in an instant in his eyes and told him that, showed him the glory of the kingdoms of this world and told him that, I'll give it to you if you bow. So again, take all these physical things, but bow to me in the Spirit. And let me be your source. And I said, no way. Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. And then he took him again, and took him the pinnacle of the temple. Now, getting religious now, in the church. The pinnacle of the church. And said, this I will give to you if you worship. He says, no, throw yourself down. But it is written, yes, that you give it to about you. Again, he checked it out. If this physical thing, how is it adding to me spiritually? Is it making me more humble? Or is it making me more proud? This is making me more proud. It's wrong. I'm sorry. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So in every time, we must always be looking at what wisdom says. What is the examine to see that we are increasing. The Bible says, wisdom is a defense. Exodus 7:12. But the excellency of wisdom is that it gives life. So anything you do, you must have more life while you're doing it. If it's taking away life, there is something wrong. You're doing the right thing in the wrong way. We must always have more life. Always have more life. Amen. It's very important. Okay. Amen. And of course, we see the result that private test was attended to by public manifestation. Look, give me verse 14. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 4. After Jesus, give me verse 13. After Jesus appeared, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Look at verse 14. It says he returned now in the power of the Spirit. So what are we saying? We are saying that when we walk in divine, in wisdom, God will test you. If God tested Jesus, he's going to test us. Amen, brethren.
He is testing us. Amen. And you know, Jesus didn't go anywhere for any test. It was right where he was, in his heart, in his mind. So the choices we're making, the thoughts we're thinking, God is watching. So you keep your heart with all diligence. It's very important. We keep our hearts, keep your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts run riot. Nobody can see it, but God is seeing everything. Playing on the video screen. And your thoughts and the choices and you are making, you don't have to, once you miss it at the thought level, it's going to play out at the actual level. That's why you must learn to now keep your heart. And you keep your heart by watching and praying. You watch for mercy. Amen. That's very important. By looking for the mercy. Then when you watch for mercy, then you watch for the sincerity or the meekness and lowliness of your heart. Then the third thing, now watch for the word of instruction. In that situation, you watch and then you pray. And when you watch and pray like that, you keep your heart. So that even the thought tests, you don't fail. Amen. Because when you pass those tests, you know, you increase in favor. You increase in wisdom. You increase in power. You know, there is a reward. When I say reward, God responds. God responds to your having chosen the right thought. Or you having done the right thing. He responds. And in a way you can tell. You don't. It's not until you do something big. It's even the small things. Stop. Leave that cookie now. Quickly acknowledge me. 10 minutes. Time to law. I don't have time for that. Go. Okay, fine. You go on and do it. Nothing happened. There was no earthquake. But you just disobeyed God. Just disobeyed God. Now, nothing may happen. This is the key now. Nothing may happen. But something may happen. Because it's an open door now that Satan can either exploit or not. Like I don't want to teach a negative thing that there's always going to be negative because God is merciful. But the key is to always recognize that, Lord, I made a mistake. I confess my sins. I repent. Stop what you're doing. Quickly pray, and then go back to what you're doing. Amen. That's walking with wisdom, like Job. There was an open door for Job, like Moses. I'm getting ahead of myself. God told Moses, speak to the rock. Moses smote it twice. And then he spoke unadvisedly. Shall we, equating himself with God, shall we now bring water out for you out of the rock? Pride and disobedience. And guess what? Water came out. So it's not every time a negative thing will happen. Water came out. But as far as God was concerned, my friend, you know better than that. You're my paddy, you know better than that. Okay, just ceremonially, as an example for eternity, you won't enter. Now, you know, there must always be a gap between me and you. Very important. Do you understand what I mean? So, it's very important that we understand that. Number two reason why wisdom is important is that we are commended according to our wisdom. Proverbs 12, verse 8. We are commended according to our wisdom. Quickly. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, godly wisdom, which is what? Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That's how God commends. What does it mean by commend? It means that God will give a kind of blessing or reward, okay, for the wisdom that you know and walk in. So, one of the most important reasons why is that if you live by wisdom, any day God is testing. Shebi is the one that's going to test. It's not oversight that's going to test too. Sometimes oversight can test and see, right? But God is the original tester. Once he tests, you know, then you will be able to see whether you pass or fail. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 2. Because of time, I won't spend too much time on Judges chapter 7, verse 2. All right, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites in your hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. What we know the story, the Midianites has come, and God raised up Gideon, and God gave Gideon an army of 32,000. But how many know God doesn't move with the crowd? He doesn't move with the crowd. But many times the crowd think that it's because there are many. You know, I experienced that when I'm working with children. You know, they think that we are plenty. They can't do anything for us. You know, it's a mentality. You know, if we are just a few now, they will deal with us. But we are too many. We form the majority, so nothing can happen. It's a lie. But plus majority plus the majority, they do all of you together. With God, doesn't matter. But you can see, so the crowd mentality that makes you confident in yourself and in one another. So you know that's how much money to do evil. So you know what God says, there are too many. Tell them all that are fearful, go. Alright? It was a test. And JJ, people that were fearful just it's true, thank you. How did you know them? Okay. I just quickly reversed and left. Alright? And then look, let's look for them. Look at verses 3. Yes. Okay. But there remain 10,000. Next verse. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. There. Who's trying them? Is it Gideon? Alright. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whom I say, this shall not go with thee, seven go. Who is the person who is judging? It's God. Gideon doesn't know what he doesn't even know the criterion. He says, the person I tell you. So God kept it inside for some time. And then when they got to the place where there was water, the God now told him the instruction at that time. So many times, no, don't point to oversight. Deal with God. It's very important. Deal with God. I mean, submit to oversight, respect, love, pray for them. But at the same time, as you're walking and living with them, be walking with God as well. Don't be walking with them as if you are walking with mere people. They are people of God. So you do well to understand that they are walking with the God. And you walk with that God as well. Amen. Alright, so you see that. Alright, and then when we go to verse 5, the body put down to the water and he said, everyone that lapped and separated those that lapped, which is to go down and get the water and then come up and keep your eye on what's going on. Watching from those that just threw their weapon down, you know, and drank or removed their clothes and said, I even need to swim and swam and all that. They didn't tell them, but it was just the level of self-discipline, obedience to instruction, and just what is in your heart. There was even no instruction. It was just to see how you would do. You know, many times God does that. Just leave you to see how you do. Ask Solomon. Ask what you have. Ask what I shall do for thee. It's not that day that Solomon got that wisdom. He had been working in it before. He had been thinking about it. How will I perpetuate my father's legacy? How will I perpetuate my father's legacy? I want to help my daddy. God, give me wisdom to rule these people. It came from his heart. He had meditated upon it. It's only God that put it there. It came from Solomon himself. So it's important for you to put the correct thing in your heart. Meditate the God in your hand. Watch your heart. Don't just think what you like and do all that, and then be there waiting for the day that you get freedom. I'm just joking. But I mean, what I'm trying to say that to enter the promised land like Achan did and kept something, you cannot do what you like. It will find you out. That's why God is going through all he's going through so that we can get it right. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. So we must be circumspect in our walk with God. And our eyes must be on the instruction and not the manifestation. Your eyes should be on the instruction and not the manifestation. Always ask God, what's the instruction here? What's the instruction here? And then follow that. Amen. And do not lower the standard. Do not lower the standard of the instruction. Don't lower it. Moses went up to the mountain, came back with the glory of God on his face, and then put a veil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, look at it. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. They didn't see the end, that the end was glory. They didn't see the end. They didn't understand that the end of it is glory. Because they put a veil. So the veil made it easier for him to relate to them, but he gave them a wrong impression of what the standard was. Never lower the standard for your children. Never lower the standard at your workplace. Never lower the standard. Keep the standard the way it is, and teach and preach and show by example that you can grow to the standard. You can. That's what God is saying. Amen. How do we build up with wisdom? Number one, as a child of God, follow after divine love. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. We begin to round up now. Alright? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after charity. I want to bring that out. Follow after charity. Let love be the goal. If love is the goal, you know, then your will is aligned to the will of God, because love is the will of God. Look at John 7:17. Love is the will of God. John 7:17, please. If any man, let's read together. If any man will do his will. Stop. Did he say if any man does his will? What did he say? If any man will. So there's no excuse. It's a willingness to do his will that God is looking for. If you are willing to do his will, you will know what the will is. Amen. You know the word. But so everything begins with a willingness. You shall know of the doctrine. If you are willing to do the will of God, you will get revelation. Amen. If you are willing to do the will of God. If you are willing to do it, where there is no clear-cut instruction, if you are willing to do the will of God, God will get across to you and show you what the instruction is. Amen. So what looks apparently hard is actually simple. It's willingness to do love. To do what the will of God is. To put love as the priority. Sometimes love comes before prayer. Sometimes love means you take a lower position. You know, some many times, okay? Love means you take a lower position. But many times you may want to do something spiritual. Like coming to pray, reading your Bible, studying your Bible, and you know this is the will of God. Yet there is an act of love that is around that you can show. And you put your own what you want to do. I can't forget one time when mommy told us that we are selfish. The children wanted to have a party, you know, and mommy said that we are thinking of, it's not convenient. Mommy said, how many times would they have? Should think about them. How many times would they have? You can come, if you don't come for this parameter, you can go for another one. You can go for another one. My ears pricked. Hey, mommy, prayer. You know, because sometimes you have to understand love in real time. In real time, at that time, I picked the instruction. You know, so sometimes during religious observances, you have to be careful that you are in the will of God at that time. It's very important. Okay. Number two, submit to apostolic fathers who give us the keys to godly wisdom and instruction. Ephesians 2:20 says that the foundation upon which the church is built. All right, Ephesians 2:20, just give it to us. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ the Word, Himself being the chief cornerstone. So this is very important. You have to submit to them in your heart, reverence them. Right? So you must follow fathers. You can't go on your own. Right? Number three, obey instruction. Obey instruction. Learn obedience. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that though he were a son. See, obedience is key. Obedience to instruction. That is the real thing. That's where wisdom is. If you embrace obedience to instruction, she will give you a crown of glory. That's what God is saying. So don't disobey to get something. You know, you can't. No, you're not getting anything. You're losing. Don't disobey to get some. You're not getting anything. Obedience is the path. You have to. You can. If the path is right, the end will be right. If the path is wrong, then I don't care what you think you have. Like Moses, when water came out. Later, God revisited the issue. God will revisit it. So it's not the man. Don't look at the manifestation of one. Look at, did I obey the instruction? Even if you didn't get what it was supposed to get, even if you didn't pray as much as you were supposed to pray, all right, but you did what was love, there's something good coming your way. you will find, this is what I find, my personal experience, you find that when you get home at 11, 12, you can still pray 2 hours. So natural. After working the whole day, you can still pray 2 hours clear with your eyes alert. In fact, you have to tell yourself, look, you are not a spirit. You are a human being. Now go and sleep. Oh, your eyes will be, bam, you know, your Bible, God will be talking to you, and you are supposedly tired. It's grace. Bible says that she will deliver an ornament of grace upon your head. It's very important. Obedience is key. You learn it sometimes by making sacrifices. That's what it calls suffering. You make a sacrifice. You know, instead of doing what I want to do, let me do what this one, because this will bless you. Amen. All right. Number 4, give to the ministry of fathers. While I'm on number 3, let me just say this. Please pray for fathers regularly. It's important that we pray for our fathers. Take out time to pray for fathers. Whether you come here, Gideon's, or you find time on your own, you don't come from Gideon's, or you add to, apart from Gideon's, you add prayer to it, it's fine. You know, pray for them. Because you know what? Everything hinges on them. No, I mean, you need to understand, God, they are so point in what God is doing. The nourishment is coming through them. The word is coming through them. So if Satan can do anything to them, anything you are doing is insignificant. You must understand it. So when you fight strategically. You pray for them before you pray for yourself. It's better because they will pray for you. It's obedience. And you pray for them. Even if you have a choice to pray, who am I going to pray for? Pray for them. And God can. I must say you should do that every day. And then say, Pastor Kunle said we should not pray. No. I mean, but sometimes, you know, time is a constraint. And then you have to make some difficult choices. Always err on the side of looking after the fathers. Amen. Honoring them with your prayers. Very important. Right? Of course, you give to their ministry. You give tithe. You give offering. Galatians 6:6. And then number 5, my final point. You maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's read together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What vocation is this? The vocation to be a son of God and to inherit glory. It's a vocation of glory. It's a glorious vocation. It's not an accountant. This is the real vocation. All right. When you do this, anything you do, accountant, anything, you'll be better at it. Like Pastor said, we are called to this vocation. This vocation to which you are called to, every single one of us. We're not called to become an accountant, a doctor, and all that. You, like Pastor has taught us, okay? This is the real vocation. Next verse. There's a way you walk when you are called to that vocation. You walk in all meekness, lowliness, and meekness with long suffering. All. Everybody say all. That means that you're not there yet. All you have so far is some. So you have to humble yourself more. See, the one to the fathers is submission, you know, is reverence. The one to our fellow brethren or people below us is meekness. Without meekness, you can't progress. Because, like you see from the example of Naaman, it was meekness, not reverence. It wasn't reverence for the king, his ogre. It was meekness to his servant that brought the wisdom that delivered him. So you need both. You need reverence, you need meekness and lowliness. It's very important. So that's just like Jesus Christ. You know, he submitted himself amongst his peers. Thought not robbery to be equal with God. They are peers. So he submitted to God. Reverence. The man, he became a man. He even humbled himself. When his mommy said, why did you keep us back for 3 days? We are looking for you. Did you know I would be in my father's house? Bible says he went. He was subject to them. When his mommy said, he was subject. That was his pattern. Meekness is very important. So we must have that. It is the more meek and lowly and reverential we are, the more wisdom we walk in. The more wisdom naturally in everything you do. Just begin to attend to everything. Just give you ideas. This is the next step. This is the next stage about this. Don't stay here. This is you have been staying here long enough. This is the next step. We have moved into this level. Moving to this realm. God will be telling you.
because you are exercising yourself in meekness. Amen. All right. And look at the results. You know, meekness and lowliness, long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That unity, brethren, is a flow. Is a flow of life. Life flows from me to you. Life flows from you to me. Amen. There's no offense. There's no block between me and you. So that way we get nourishment from all the sources. And then we grow. We grow quickly. Because your nourishment is complete. You're not blocking yourself from X, Y, or Z. You know, and you're using 2 out of 4. Or 1 out of 4. Or even 3 out of 4. You're operating all 4. So you're growing. You're growing. And you can tell. You can tell because you grow in wisdom. You can see the wisdom you're putting in your life. You can see the stature, the strength. When you pray, you can see the measure of the rule, the things that you can control, the things that, God, thank you. You know, you can begin to see. So it's not pie in the sky. It's something that you can experience. And then as you grow, it brings unity. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Thank you. From whom the whole body, what? Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we grow individually, we now grow corporately. That's why it is men. Every step of the way, like I read to you at the beginning, is men. Men raising the tent, men raising up the landmark, men preparing the food, men setting the tables. And when we now want to, everything is done, we now men that will serve it to men as the will of God. And if we do that, you can do Amos chapter 9, verse 10 to 15. The church will now take her place in that place in the heavens. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the word plowman travail shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall draw up sweet wisdom. All right, and all the hills shall melt. Talking about victory. Amen. Next verse. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall what? Build the waste cities. Talking about the nation now. Cities, you know, the communities, all right? And inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards. Of course, by this time now we have the glory. And drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruits of them. Next verse. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Nigeria will experience a revival by virtue of Zion having the glory, being built up and having the glory. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. The message today is that you are important in what God is doing. And you have a place, a part to play as an individual. And we now have a part to play as a corporate family. The way you live your life in your closet affects me. The degree of your obedience to instruction is affecting the next person. So we must learn. The Bible says, forsake her not. Love her. Exalt her. Embrace her. We must increase in meekness and lowliness so that we can embrace wisdom and make it our lifestyle. Repent
areas where we have prioritized anything above love. Areas where we have not kept our heart diligently. Ask God for mercy. He will help us so that we will not miss that which He is doing. Determine. You're going to stay with it. Don't give up. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait actively. Keeping your heart stayed on Him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I beseech You, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see You.
I want to see You.
I want to see You.
To see You high and lifted up,
shining
in the light of Your glory.
Pour out
Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
In faith unto the Lord, the sign of dependence on God, and put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I confess my sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me today, showing me that You are building me with wisdom and understanding as a member of Zion. And You are teaching me to walk in greater meekness and lowliness of heart and greater reverence to those in authority over me, so I can receive the life of God in sufficient measure, and I can be obedient to the instruction, apostolic instruction from my fathers, that as I obey, you build me up to receive the inheritance of the glory of God. Heavenly Father, I ask you for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to increase in faithfulness, Lord, in my obedience. Help me to triumph over temptations that come against me as I watch and pray diligently, as I cultivate promptness in obedience to instruction in the name of Jesus. Help me, Father, that I'll be faithful unto the very end, so you will bind me together with my fathers and our brethren, that you will build us up as a habitation fit for your glory, and you will appear in that glory in this day of visitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jacte kondabaya, rapakakan konde kesetea, rapakangan konge de beberi kopakata seke de beberia, rapakaka jeke kosema, rede de pam pam kanta kaseka kaka tokala daba, rapakate keseke daba, rapakaka jeke kowai kowabaya, rababaya rapakatan zone do mele do bo, rede de beto apakat reka bave kata jeka mape pekele. Ombalia, Renelea, Robas, Renebo, Balia, Renelebosa, Jeka Rubaba, Mekaba, Salonobope, Ranelebe, Wakakanga, Jeka Lobabo, Baridea, Reka, Bangalea, Ranol, Renelebesata, Jafreke Kokumbariana Mayana. In Jesus' name, amen.